RKEY today.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Whatever it was that you chose to do, hanging out with family, your buddies, whatever you did, because we're getting closer to Memorial Day weekend. Do you believe it? This time next week, you'll really be kicking back. At least some of you will. I have a feeling about that. Of course, the world doesn't stop just because it's the weekend, and there were some horrible things that actually happened over the weekend. We'll talk about those and give you the silver linings, too, like the Daily Salute. Also, we're going to speak with Melissa Anderson. She's got a book out called The Way I See It. Does the name ring a bell? Do you remember Mary Ingalls from Little House on the Prairie? You know, that is still in syndication. I know I've seen it somewhere. I want to say TV Land or one of those. But anyway, Michael Landon, uber famous back in the day. It was his brainchild along with a few others. And she was a big part of that show for a very long time. It was a big run, The Little House on the Prairie. Just like Lost, a lot of people might have watched Lost earlier in the evening. Because I know, as fired up as we get up about politics and what's happening with the Arizona immigration deal and the reaction to it, and who cares what Felipe Calderon has to say and all the other things that we've talked about this past week and rolling into this week, I know you take breaks from it. I know that you need to chill at some point. And I guarantee, even if you won't admit it, all of you listen or watch some mindless television now and then. So you might have latched on to that series Lost, which now J.J. Abrams has created another series called Fringe. That's the one that I watch. But the Lost series really sucked in a lot of people. And initially, I started to watch it. But the breaks, the hiatuses were so long and the storylines got so contrived to me, they lost me with Lost. However, I did watch the finale, and I want to know what you thought of the finale, or what was the best? How about this? What was the best television series, period, bar none, that you ever watched? It's something that you got sucked into, some drama or something, whatever it is. I don't care if it's way back in the day, the Starsky and Hutch days, or something now moving forward, whether it was Jericho or 24. I know a lot of people that watch 24. Anyway, I thought we'd have some fun because we definitely need to lighten the load. Until we get to that, however, there are some things to talk about, including there was an Air India jet that crashed, and they did find this black box from the jet. That's good news because, you know, it's all about finding the black box so you can find out what happened in the final moments of that plane, and it was the country's worst air disaster in about a decade. 158 people were killed. This is radio, but just picture, if you will, for a minute, that you've got stuff just spewed out everywhere. It's like a bomb blew up the plane. So relatives of the victims, of course, were shocked because this is a plane that almost made it. So finding that black box, key, because all that's left is twisted wreckage and not big pieces of wreckage, just little pieces of wreckage. Now, of the 166 passengers and crew that were aboard when the plane basically overshot a hilltop runway and plunged over a cliff on Saturday, 158 were dead, but 8 people survived. And that has to be crazy. It almost goes along with the Lost theme, which is a fantasy and just a television show where they're on an island and the plane crashes and whatever. But you have to be thinking, why me? Why me? How could it be that I've somehow survived this? And it must change your perspective on life. So luckily there were some people that survived, but it was just awful. And it's amazing they survived when you look at what was thrown across that hillside. So trying to put it together has got to be pretty tough. And I already mentioned this worst disaster they've seen in about a decade. They recovered the voice recorder and the data recorder, and they hope that this is going to give them some kind of clues. They've got a forensic team combing through things even right now, and so far about 146 of the 158 bodies have been identified, and some of those were people from the United States, some of them were Americans. Some of them were people who came from Dubai, all over the place, kind of a mixed plane, just there for different reasons, traveling, and almost made it home. I mean, here you're talking about overshooting a runway. So here's what's interesting, too, in talking about what are the safe parts of the plane. Know anybody that they're really superstitious about where they sit, whether it's in the front or in the tail or if it's by an exit row, whatever it is? Well, the people that did survive, it was eight total, I guess, that survived. They were seated in the center of the plane, pretty much where it broke open, so they managed to get out before the fireball just engulfed the whole plane. So it was just a luck of the draw, pure luck at where it cracked open. Because aviation people will tell you, as we have Denny Kelly on a lot of times, and we have DJ Frost on this show a lot of times, they'll tell you, it's relatively, you know, the luck of the draw where you are in the plane is relative to how the fuselage disintegrates, and in this case, going into that ravine. So most people couldn't escape. They might have had a shot, but they couldn't escape. They couldn't have escaped. So the people that just happened to be in that area were able to crawl out and walk away from, some of them walk away from the tragedy, and some of them not burned too badly. Nobody in critical condition that survived the flight. So that's just crazy. That's one of the worst things that happened over the weekend. And, of course, everything else is about the conversation over oily pelicans and what's happening on the beaches and how is the confidence level on BP and this cleanup, the oil slick. What are the next steps? What's happening? And will, in fact, this top kill method that initially it was going to be executed over the weekend. Now it looks like it's going to be Tuesday when they do it. But this is really a battle at this point in the Gulf Coast, and it's between the oil and the water. I mean, it really is. That's what it is. You look at the Mississippi River and you think of how wide that river is and the attempt to somehow corral this massive oil slick that is rapidly starting to touch down on the shorelines of Louisiana, whatever it is, whatever they can, they're trying to figure out whatever they can to throw at it to push it back. But the oil is just moving forward, and they've got this wind that they're contending with. I've said this all along, and all of you know this. It's about the currents and the wind. So a steady wind from the southeast is blowing the oil onshore and into those, sadly, those coastal bays. So where is this going to end? And the answer is we really at this point don't know. It depends on the capping and already all the oil that's out there. The sad thing is in the wetlands, and I guess not surprising. If you go to my site, americatonight.net, you'll see a picture of it. It's a boot and how thick that oil is. They're saying that in the wetlands, as it gets more or gets deeper, rather, into the wetlands, it'll be impossible to clean up, that it will take forever, and they're not kidding, to try to push this out, and that'll be how hard it will be to try to figure out a way to just get it out of there. And it's the same thing with the sand. It just doesn't go away like that because it burrows into the sand. So a backlash starting to happen as a result of what's going on with BP and the questions about do you trust BP with what they're saying after they lied about the amount of oil that was coming out and a few other things too. In fact, we're going to talk about that on the flip side. Hang with us.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
Billboard standing on a corner, somebody please in a helping hand. I'm just a ghetto child in this so-called.
So we continue to go down this oily path, and, you know, it's interesting. Over the weekend, I went to see Jimmy Buffett. And, you know, if anyone's ever been to a Buffett show, he's been around forever, and yet he still has new fans. There were plenty of people in their early 20s and all the way up probably to 60-plus, and it's an event. He's somehow capitalized. He was smart. He was able to create these event destination concert deals so people tailgate all over the place. And a couple of things, he's got a new hotel that's opening in Panama City. Couldn't be worse timing with this oil spill. And during one of his songs, he took a couple of shots at BP, and I started to think about this. Imagine you're Jimmy Buffett and you're opening a hotel in a place that's for sure in the way it's happening now with the direction of the winds and whatnot, to be slammed by this oil slick. So he, too, I don't care how many millions he has, he, too, is a victim of the oil spill. And the timing couldn't be worse, because who's going to stay in Panama City if you see the amount of mud, oil that looks like mud or chocolate syrup, as some people have described it, that's hitting the shoreline already in Louisiana, if it is to go around to Florida, especially in the parts in the panhandle and whatnot, there's a great chance that that will happen. Man, I would think that as much as you might love Jimmy Buffett or a new hotel opening, you'd be scared off, because who's going to want to go on the beaches? Like I say over and over again, are you really going to want to go to a beach with your kids, with your family, with your grandkids, even with your friends? You're going to go fishing, because you can't fish there. So it'll for sure wreak havoc with quite a few people besides those in the fishing business, those who are out there shrimping and whatnot, you know, hotel businesses and people who make their living, you know, pick something that's related to the beach. I don't care if they're selling the Italian water ices on the beach. If there's nobody to sell things to on the beach, and that's huge. Think of the chairs, the umbrellas, all that stuff. All of them are affected by this. So there's going to be even more suits and more things to deal with, I think, related to the spill. And it's just a question of the thing that we keep saying all along. It's the touchdown. Where is this going to, you know, touch down? Where is that going to happen? So anyway, in light of that, BP now is constantly on the offensive and defensive strategy. So part of the Sunday Swirl, Candy Crowley has a show on CNN, and I happened to catch this, and she was talking to one of the BP directors about the cleanup and the questions we have surrounding the cleanup, and will all the oil, will they be able to get it all up? Because that's the second part of it, what I've mentioned before. And this nightmare that they're dealing with PR-wise, that nobody trusts this company, even at a Jimmy Buffett, showdown at one of his tailgating things. It's called Under the Big Top. People are having a good time, probably half out of it, drinking, hanging out, whatever. But yet they were all booed in unison when he just mentioned BP twice in a song where he ad-libbed it in. So take a listen to the director and what he had to say to her.
There's no question that this much oil and in the ocean is going to take a long time to clean it up. It is different than the Valdez spill because it's much warmer waters. The biological processes will work faster. But you can clean up the beaches. The marshes are very, very sensitive. They're not as simple to get in and clean. There are techniques that will be done. There was a lot of oil spilled in that region after Hurricane Katrina, and the marshes have recovered. But we will undoubtedly measure and investigate the effects of this bill for many, many years to try to determine and learn the long-term impacts of this. We're committed to both cleaning it up, studying it, understanding it.
Yeah, cleaning it up and understanding it, and then moving from that to the whole idea that, look, first you tell us 5,000 barrels are coming out, then we get these live feeds where we can clearly see that it's much more than 5,000 barrels. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that. How much, we don't exactly know, but we know it's at least 2 to 3 to maybe 4 times more than what they're saying. So as a result of that, what do you do? How do you spin any kind of a positive note out there that the world is watching the two dreaded letters and not trusting what they're saying?
Well, all of us at BP are trying to solve the problem. Those words hurt a little bit because we've been open about what we're doing. What we're doing is certainly not anything in secret. We've had direct oversight and involvement from government agencies from the very first hours afterwards. There is an imprecision around the measurement of that crude oil, which I've used the analogy that it is a little bit like popping a soda can, rushing out with lots of gas and oil. There's a lot of gas in this crude. The rate is unclear. We're measuring and producing some of that today. But in terms of not trusting BP, I mean, there's nobody who is more devastated by what has happened, and nobody that wants to shut this off more than we do and learn what happened so this never happens anywhere to anyone, anywhere in the world again.
Okay, so he's making these assurances. We don't want this to happen. You got Governor Jindal is upset from Louisiana saying, look, the state's already lost 2,300 square miles of land since the 30s because of all the things that are happening as far as pipelines and what we're dredging up and the barrier islands. And now you have this, you hand this to us. What is wrong with this picture? How can we recover from this? And you look at their ecosystem there, the canes is what they call it, or the long grass that you see in photographs, and there that's the shrimp, and there are other things that float in from the open Gulf area that, forget about it, they're not going to float there for a very long time. As I said, the question is, We want to know, I mean, somebody. We want to know the specifics of how did this happen. We're getting stories and whistleblowers and all that other stuff, but the specifics everybody wants to know, and to be honest, it is all about the how big is it and how in the hell are you stopping this? Is this top kill thing going to work or not? So you've got the Obama administration in one corner. You have the scientific folks in another spot in the ring. And the tensions are all over the map. You have prominent oceanographers who say, look, the government, it's the government. Stop blaming BP. It's the government failing to do an adequate scientific analysis, one here, of the damage, and also for allowing BP to obscure what was really happening, the scope of this whole thing. It's their fault that the government didn't step in, and they don't have a good handle on what's happening with these large plumes of oil droplets that are spreading beneath the ocean's surface. So on the trust issue, when it's about trusting BP, I think you even have to push that further about trusting the government to handle this kind of thing and their response to it. When they were getting awards, the Deepwater Horizon, for 7 years, now this happens, but the response by the government in not leaning on their backs harder, and BP, I guess, has pretty much had open arms. They're kind of throwing it all out there. So shame on the government if they didn't, one, have tighter regulations in the first place, and two, they weren't all over this from the beginning to know what was happening, to say, listen, we need to be there right there with you to see what is spilling out. And there hasn't, the government hasn't made public a single test on the water that's come out from the ocean in that area. I didn't think about this till over the weekend, and people started to talk about this more. As I mentioned, the Sunday Swirl, the Talking Heads, they're stirring it up, and rightfully so. The scientists are saying that, hey, look, the White House is too reluctant to demand an accurate analysis of how many gallons of oil are actually flooding the seas from the gushing oil well. And it is baffling that we don't know the amount and where the oil is as far as the water compared to it. How much oil? Because how do you get a handle on trying to stop it when you have no clue how big it is? The guesstimates, the constant guesstimates, which are a specialty of the government, now spreading to this. The EPA is releasing results, they say, from water sampling near the shore in Louisiana. They hope to be able to do that at some point this week. Now for something completely different. We talked about it briefly at the beginning of the show, Lost, the big finale. Perhaps you were a fan. What happened with Little House on the Prairie? We're talking to Melissa Anderson next on ATN.
The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcasts?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from Caro Stove. Caro Stove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now, get the Family Emergency Kit at KEROstove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at KEROstove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to KEROstove.com. Caro Stove, for family emergency solutions.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down-home value, made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get Diamond Gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com, that's Gusset.com, or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond Gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
Here's a question. If you have a septic system, did you know that proper maintenance can save you thousands of dollars in costly and unnecessary repairs? The answer is simple. Use septic system injector treatments made specifically for your home or business, available only at SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Made in the U.S., guaranteed to reduce sludge and odor by continuously cleaning your septic system, drain pipes, and leach field, this non-hazardous patented injector system contains billions of natural active bacteria and enzymes proven to digest household waste. With every flush, millions of enzyme-active bacteria flow through your system, breaking down organic waste. Only Simple Septic Solutions natural eco-friendly products keep your septic system unclogged and free-flowing, claims other products can't make. Installation is simple and lasts for 4 full months. Visit SimpleSepticSolutions.com. That's SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Or call 508-759-0010. That's 508-759-0010.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Of Lost. I know a lot of people fell in love with that show and, you know, started to watch it, and it's one of the shows that I think will go down in history. Another show that was big that has definitely gone down in history is Little House on the Prairie. Who can forget the Ingalls girls? Certainly not me, and I know a lot of you can relate to Mary Ingalls. I love Mary Ingalls, man. And there was something about it that freaked me out when she went blind, remember, on the series? Well, what a pleasure it is to welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Melissa Anderson. She's got a book out called The Way I See It, and it is a look back at her life on Little House. Hey, Melissa, we know you're swamped. We appreciate you spending some time with us here on the show.
Oh, no problem. Thanks so much.
You know, when you're on a series, and you were on that show for a very long time, when it's your last day on a series, it has to be emotional, and there's got to be all kinds of things going through your head. What was it like the last scene that you shot on Little House? What did that feel like for you?
Well, it was quite emotional for me. Unfortunately, the show wasn't much of a send-off. It was kind of petered out. It didn't make a big deal of us. Linwood, Boomer, and I leaving.
Right.
But you know, we did the hugs goodbye and all that, and it was quite real.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Yeah.
And you know, so when you look back on those Little House days now and you put it in perspective overall, and you were so young, what was it like when you got the job and you beat out so many other actresses the first day on the set? What was that like for you?
Oh, it was very exciting. I remember more the publicity pictures and things like that. I don't actually remember the first day of filming, I don't think, but I write about it in my book. I actually broke out in hives.
I read so
that was a little scary, and they covered them up well though, and I made fast friends with the head makeup artist, so that was nice, and it was very, you know, just even that was so exciting. And then a couple of days after that, we started shooting. So,
and you know, you talk about in your book too how there were 200 other actresses there. You were just, 9 years old when things started to happen for you, 10, 11. I mean, that is so young. Did you have any idea how much your life would change once you became part of this very popular television show?
Well, no. But, you know, it things happen at such a kind of, you know, slow pace. You know, I mean, you kind of adjust as you – maybe it wasn't a slow pace, but you kind of adjust as you go along. As the show got more popular, so did we. And so you get, you know, you get accustomed to the people recognizing you and your life changing a little bit. So it's not a slow pace, but it's certainly a gradual kind of thing that happens.
You know what I thought was cool that you wrote about in your book? That you really humanized Michael Landon, because he was larger than life for so many people. And you talked about spending time at his house and what it was like when you pulled up to his house. Take us back there. What were the Landon children like, and what was it like hanging out with Michael Landon at that time?
Well, his house was spectacular. I mean, I'd never seen a house like that. And it was this beautiful English Tudor mansion, and it was, you know, it had this like motor court, and it was beautiful. And it was very, tastefully decorated. And his kids, you know, to his and their credit, I mean, you know, have always been great, really nice, polite, if not shy kids. He and Lynn, his wife, did a terrific job with those kids. So he was very different. You know, when he was on the set, he was always bumming cigarettes from people. He never had anything in his pockets. He never had any money. He never had anything. He never really needed anything. But you know, then you go to his house and you know, all this opulence, it was just kind of weird, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. And we mentioned at the top of this how young you were when you started and what that journey was like the first day. We're just talking about that. And of course, you work with Melissa Gilbert. You two were really part of the main part of the cast, obviously. And you had to be schooled. You had to be tutored. And I thought that was fascinating too, when you talked about what it was like to go to school on the set and how you really weren't encouraged to be really tight with Melissa Gilbert. And I think what you said in your book is that maybe it was because they thought you would be better on camera together, or you wouldn't have falling outs like little girls might do, or preteens like we all would do. Was that really the thought behind it?
That's what I think it was. I think they obviously wanted us to get along, but I think they didn't encourage us being like, you know, super close friends, because, you know, there was a possibility that we could then, you know, not be so close and have a falling out, and then it might show. And as it, you know, as it stands, I mean, the way we all were, everybody always says to me and has always said, was it really like a family? Are you really a family? And no, of course we weren't. We all had our own families to go home to, but we came off, you know, we're all actors, and we came off, and we got along well enough that we came off as though we were. So it worked.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you probably have memories from all the different episodes. I said, when you went blind, that freaked me out, that episode, and it had an impact on a lot of people. What you talk about in your book is when you found out about the blind episode, you'd heard the rumors about it, you thought that you were off the show. But it, of course you weren't, but what was it like getting into that character and then finding out you had to play blind? That had to be a little tough.
Right. Oh, it was very, very hard, actually. I mean, it was a big deal. I went to the Foundation for the Junior Blind, in Los Angeles, and worked with teachers there. We also had a technical advisor on the set for those two episodes where my character goes blind. And it was huge. I mean, it was, it's also never been done. It had never been done, and it has not been done since, where a character, has some horrible, debilitating something happen to them, and then, doesn't recover, you know, never recovers. So,
yeah.
But it was, yes, it was very difficult. It was very, I had to concentrate, you know, so some things I was able to get into and never forget. And then there were a couple of other things that I always had to concentrate on.
Yeah.
But, there is a funny story in the book about, when I went off to do a Love Boat, an episode of the Love Boat, and I found myself, you know, doing my blind gaze in the first, the first rehearsal. I know. I was so embarrassed. I mean, and luckily no one else noticed. I mean, they didn't notice it, but I was like, what am I doing?
And so. Now with your book out and you're traveling all over the place for book signings and meeting people, I think people probably still recognize you. Do you get a lot of that? Do people yell your name out or yell the character's name out? Do they say Mary or Melissa? Do you have that happen?
They don't yell my name out, but yes, people do recognize me now and then. Yes, they do.
That has to be nice. That's nice because, you know, people really watched you and watched the series.
Right, right. You know, it's always flattering and it's always nice, so.
And you mentioned this, too. Then you went off and you did a lot of different things, including Love Boat, which was huge, the Brady Bunch, you were the Equalizer, I remember that. What was the Brady Bunch like? Because that had to be a lot of fun with the amount of kids that were on that show.
Well, that was interesting because that was actually my first part. I had done commercials, and then I did this part on the Brady Bunch. And I played Bobby's first girlfriend, Millicent, mm-hmm. and it's this, like, quite famous episode now. And it was great for me because I was a huge, huge fan of the Brady Bunch every Friday night. I mean, the Brady Bunch and the Partridge Family, that's mm-hmm. what I watched. So, I mean, I was so excited. And I remember when I went, I remember I saw the sliding glass door of their, from their, like, family room into their backyard or something, had no glass in it. And their lawn was AstroTurf, you know, and it was all very, very fake. And all the kids were older than I thought they were. You know, I knew some of them were older than I was, but I didn't realize that all of them were older than I was.
Yeah, that'd be a little bit different.
Yeah. So it was a little disappointing, but it, again, yeah, still it was so exciting. And it was funny because, the director, Lloyd Schwartz, saw my long blonde hair and he said, I've got a great idea. And he copied this, Clairol commercial, I think it was at the time where, they have a girl and a guy run together in a, like a wheat field or, you know, flowers or something anyway. And they're running in slow motion and they spin around and then they embrace. And he added that in slow motion to our scenes that we were already shooting for that Brady Bunch. And, I was kind of mortified. It was so embarrassing at, 10 years old to be doing that. But it was turned out very, very cute.
Yeah, as you said, it's one of the popular episodes. And finally, what would you advise child actors? You have two kids. If one of your kids wanted to go into acting, would you encourage or how would you feel about that?
Well, I certainly wouldn't let them as children.
Right.
I don't agree with it. I think kids should be kids and kids shouldn't work. That's just my opinion. Even though it worked out fine with me, nothing horrible happened to me and I didn't end up doing drugs or anything else. And but I just don't think it's a good idea in general. And acting, is a really hard, being an actor is it's a tough gig. It's a really hard, career,
yeah.
It's very up, you have your ups and downs, you wear your heart on your sleeve, and then you're told that you're too short, or you're too fat, or you're too this, or you're too that, or you're not enough of this, and I don't know, it's, there's so many other careers that are so much more dependable, so for, when you're looking out for your children, of course, you want them, to have good, dependable, jobs, so,
right.
So no, I wouldn't recommend it, but then again, if they have a passion, they sort of have to follow it. But I always thought, do it as a hobby.
Yeah, there you go.
Go to college and have some terrific, steady job as your real career,
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, well, I'm so glad you got to spend time with us. Melissa Anderson, terrific. The book is called The Way I See It. Pick it up, folks. It's a really, really good read. We appreciate the time on America Tonight.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and thanks for reading the book.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, had completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Are you prepared? Well, you need to be hardcore prepared. There is a difference. To be hardcore prepared, equip yourself with the latest survival gear available at TacTownGear.com. All TacTown gear has been field tested by Canadian and U.S. forces, so you know it's tough. What kind of gear? 72-hour survival kits as low as $55. Holsters for $21. Ankle holsters as low as $40. Flashlights, knives, binoculars, sleeping bags, boots, weapons, accessories, and much more available only at TacTownGear.com. Order now and receive free shipping and a free gift on orders over $175. Need more? Receive free shipping, a free gift, and a 10% discount on orders over $250. Visit TacTownGear.com right now for your preparedness needs. That's TACTownGear.com. TacTownGear.com. Or call TacTown Gear at 418-844-9111. Again, that's 418-844-9111.
Did you know there is a growing number of researchers who agree that 90% of all disease begins in the colon? Did you know that 80% of all Americans suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? If allowed, our bodies are capable of healing themselves. The key to optimal health is not only what we eat, but also a healthy digestive system and a strong immune system. At Freshwater Organics, we offer FPP, a daily organic supplement that helps eliminate parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely. FPP, or fossilized phytoplankton powder, has been used worldwide for thousands of uses and is now available from Freshwater Organics. In addition, we offer an entire line of products to help cleanse waste and toxins, strengthen your immune system, and improve your overall well-being. Make FreshwaterOrganics.com your first stop for organic and natural supplements at the best prices. Visit FreshwaterOrganics.com. Again, that's FreshwaterOrganics.com, or request your free catalog by mail by calling 888-949-3570.
Barracuda. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I'm not saying I'm a Barracuda, by the way, but I do have a nomination for Barracuda, and if you listen in our next hour, I'll tell you who it is. And this story, it's worthy of the dungeon. I feel like sometimes, and I'm not gender biased, but I feel like sometimes maybe we're putting too many men in the dungeon. This time we're actually going to fling a woman in the dungeon. And a lot of people really like this woman, but boy, she has fallen into a deep well this time around. So you'll have to stay tuned and find out who that is in our next hour of America Tonight. If you're listening to us near, far, and all those spaces in between, well, welcome. We're glad to have you aboard. A big shout out to Christina in Sweden. Also, Sven, who sent me a note. He's listening in Sweden now. I don't even know if he knows Christina, but it's just somebody else who somehow found us. Jose and Jack and Don all listening to us in Spain. I think they all work together. I don't know. I just know that they're listening to us. That's the power of not just radio, I guess, the World Wide Web as well. We're going to hit some headlines here in this segment as we race toward the finish line, and then mailbag. And I do appreciate all of the notes that you've sent. A lot of people still thinking about BP and the oil spill and the amount and how can they measure it and all that sort of stuff. So we'll get to those in just a few seconds here. But before we do that, quickly, just to emphasize what we were talking about last week, we had a big discussion on South Korea saying to the North, you're going to pay for what you did for this torpedo attack, for sinking our boat. The president is saying Seoul's not going to tolerate Pyongyang's brutality. They're just not going to do it. And they're looking for the UN to back them in this conflict. So in the meantime, you got Clinton who's saying the U.S. and China have to act together on North Korea. That was one of the things that was brought up. What do you think China does in this case? What if there is some kind of a war? The U.S. is involved. The U.S. has so many troops already over there. Because remember, it's just a truce between the North and the South. So now there's conversations about what happens with North Korea, that they've got to be held accountable. Kim Jong-il, who's still the leader there, has to be held accountable for sinking a South Korean warship. And it definitely was determined, they've traced this, to be caused by North Korea. So Clinton is pushing China, make a decision, work with us, and coordinate a response to what's happened here. North Korea is saying this is a smear campaign, it's not their fault, they didn't do it, they're not responsible, and on. It's nothing but hot air that flows out of the mouth of that short Kim Jong-il dictator. So North Korea was responsible. I mean, there's no way around it. They had too much evidence linking them to it, including everything that has to do with the way the ship was sunk. So it's really overshadowing the couple days of talks that were scheduled to focus on global financial issues in China. That's why initially that was part of the deal with Clinton, and Clinton is supposed to go to Seoul on Wednesday, and I think she wants to go to Seoul and say, listen, we've got China backing you up. This is serious. We know you're upset, and we got China in our back pocket. But will China do that? That's why they're pushing China to work with the U.S. and the Security Council to help draft sanctions on Iran, for example. And now they want help with China on the North Korea thing. But North Korea is a little different situation as to what they're going to do. How are they going to manage this? Because this is a regional hotspot for them. a big-time regional hotspot for them, and a relationship thing, too, on the whole business side, looking at it from that point of view. The trade advantage Beijing has because of undervalued Chinese currency is something to look at. China's kind of pulling back from the move to loosen the currency's hold to the U.S. dollar, but now you got the euro slide to 4 years low against the dollar, so there's a lot of burden on the exporters across the board. A lot of things happening with China, there's no question about that, but that's a big one, obviously. What's going to happen, we'll see. Next week could be a big one. Next week or the following week as to a possible retaliation from South Korea, and what does that mean for the U.S.? Also, there is something going down in Jamaica, state of emergency in Jamaica. It's one of the places you're not supposed to travel to right now, and how many Americans go to Jamaica. But they've got a drug war going on that is just blowing apart various areas in that country. And so the warning has been issued. You know, when the State Department puts out a note, if you go and you look at the websites and they tell you, it's advised that you don't travel to this area. Well, because of the machine guns in the street and trying to off this one drug lord, it's gotten nasty, beyond nasty there, fighting in the streets. So I don't think you want to go to Jamaica just now at this point. I think I would trust that State Department warning to avoid traveling there because of the danger that has erupted, the violence that has erupted in the streets. All right, those are a couple of big headlines for you that we didn't cover in this hour, so we hit them for you. Let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Oh, thank you very much. We have this from Jenna G. Jenna G says, hello, America Tonight. Boy, do I enjoy your show. I'm kind of a new listener. To be honest, I sampled it a while ago, but you weren't on. Somebody must have been filling in for you. And now I've heard you doing the show, Kate, and I'm enjoying it. I like the randomness of it because I just never know what I'm going to get when I tune in. Everything else is so predictable. In fact, my life is too predictable. So keep it up. Keep bringing us some of the strange and unique ideas to the table. All right, I'll consider that a compliment, I guess. were a little strange here on America Tonight. This from Dave, who's listening to us in Illinois. America Tonight. Take a stand on North Korea. You were talking about the fact that the ship went down and we're going to have to see what's going to happen and taking a path in that direction. I wasn't sure whether you thought North Korea should be thumped or not. What do you say, Kate? Should they be thumped? Well, it's funny because we just said that headline. Absolutely. I did say this. Perhaps you didn't catch it on the show, that I have a little short list of idiots that would be better, we would be better served if they were on the planet breathing, and one of them is Kim Jong-il. Years ago I said that, and he's still on that list. I mean, it's a layup to say it, though. I mean, hey, it's not a, you can walk on the same branch. Everybody's walking on the same branch. The question becomes is the amount of troops, but we already have 28,000 troops or so in the area, so saying that means, yeah, I think that use the muscle. Use the muscle, but you got to get the backing of the UN Security Council. Go in, and if you get China there, hit them and hit them hard. Blow this guy away. Forget about it. I mean, how many troops can they have that we cannot handle at this point? And we're in the thick of it with South Korea, so we have to go in this direction. It's obvious they sunk the ship. You just cannot keep backing off with sanctions and all that other stuff. You have to hit people where they live and take a stand. Here's from Paul, and this sums everything up. Dear America Tonight, I was wondering about contests. I love it when you do contests during the NFL season. I was too chicken to call, but I would laugh my head off when people called in and had different predictions about games, especially when they were astronomical scores or they were just way too low. But I did enjoy listening to it, and I've also heard you do that trifecta thing. Wondering if you're going to have a trifecta challenge for the Belmont. When is it, and will you do that? Thanks. All right, the answer to that is, yes, we will do the Belmont trifecta challenge. We are gluttons for punishment, as all of you are, too, and we want to see somebody win. So that means that we will do the trifecta challenge. It is June 5th when the race. Do you believe it? June 5th is the race for the Belmont. So we would do it on the 3rd, June 3rd, in the third hour. And maybe this time around we'll have a winner. It's a random guess. It is similar to what we do in football with Nail the Score, because you're picking numbers and you're trying to figure out which numbers, three numbers in a row. And the horses will be interesting because Super Saver isn't supposed to be there. And looking at Lucky won't be there either. So you don't have your Derby winner or Preakness winner that will be entered in the Belmont. The Belmont is the longest of the three, and that changes things dramatically. But sure, for fun, we love doing the contests, and we hope all of you will call in our third hour on that night and play along with us. Who knows, you might win beyond your wildest dreams the entire prize closet of America Tonight, because it has really, really been piling up.
Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all about the things?
Idiot! It's simple!
What, are you kidding me?
It's smoke and mirrors. It's bogus. And it's all too familiar.